he wasn't here, we think something was wrong anyway. Glad to see him come in. Glad to see each and every one of you that's present. I believe he's nodded that he's ready, so we'll just start over now. The benefit of Brother Pike that came in would be leading from Revelation chapter 14, Brother Pike, and chapter 16, and chapter 19. We're going to read all of those passages, and then go back and bring the message referring to those various passages from time to time in this lecture tonight. The lecture is entitled, as you know, The Battle of Armageddon. The Battle of Armageddon. Let us begin reading then with Revelation chapter 14 and begin reading with verse 17. And another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over the fire, and cried with a loud voice to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, Thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse bridle, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. Now I'll turn over to chapter 16. We have read these before, but we want to read some more, and beginning with verse 12, reading through verse 17. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs, come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garment, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. In Revelation chapter 19 now, we begin reading with verse 11. And we're still reading of the great battle of Armageddon. And I saw heaven open. Behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. He hath on his vesture and on his side name written, King of kings and Lord of lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun. He cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together under the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of them that sat on them, and flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beasts and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophets that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant was slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. And all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Complete the reading of chapter 19 of the book of Revelation. In chapter 16, as you'll notice there, we find the word Armageddon. No. Chapter 16, we just read that, and we're studying the battle of Armageddon tonight. Now, the New Century Dictionary says that Armageddon is a place of some great and final conflict between the forces of good and evil. That's a general definition, and yet it's a worthwhile definition, I think. But I like Unger's dictionary's definition. And Unger, in his Bible dictionary, says that in the Greek language, it's translated the word Armageddon. But in the Hebrew, the word is Har Megiddo, or the hilltop of Megiddo, the plain of Ascalon, the great battlefield of Palestine. I like that definition. I think that gives us a complete definition as to the place and the meaning of the word Armageddon, both in the Hebrew and the Old Testament, and in the Greek of the New Testament. Now, the three passages that we read in the book of Revelation gives first, in the 14th chapter, the announcement with actually the gist of the great battle of Armageddon, likened it unto a great harvest of wickedness when it shall come to pass in the earth. And then in Revelation 16 that we read, we find the preparation there under the sixth vial for the great battle of Armageddon. The angel poured out his vial, the sixth vial, upon the earth, and the great Euphrates was dried up to make a way for the kings of the east to be gathered to this great battleground there in the city of Jerusalem, or near the city of Jerusalem. While the Revelation chapter 19 that we read gives the climax of the battle of Armageddon. So I think it requires a study of chapters 14, 16, and 19 to complete the great battle of Armageddon. Now I want us to consider this message tonight and subject under the following outline. You have the outline in your notes. The facts of it. And then, of course, the plays of the great battle of Armageddon. The strategy of it. And then the forces of it, armed forces. The terribleness of it. And finally, the victors of it in the great battle of Armageddon. Brother Crawford, in his announcement Sunday, said that it means a war that we cannot lose. I think that's a good statement, so I wanted to quote that from him tonight. And thank God that God's people with the Lord will win and not lose in the great battle of Armageddon. But some will lose. Let us note the fact of it in the first place. This battle will come to pass as a fact, regardless of the false promises of peace. There will be no peace, national peace, on this earth until after the great battle of Armageddon is fought. Men work today in the national realm predicting everlasting peace. Politicians run for office planning for peace and talking of peace. The First World War was fought to end all war. That was the whole theory of World War I, the one war to end all war. They thought through fighting that war, then the nations having a league and uniting, and then Christians took it up. And sad to say that even Baptists took it up and preached that we're going to get the whole world converted. And if they just give us the money, the Baptist said, we'll win the world to Christ and bring in the millennium. And that's in the age that post-millennialism was preached more than any other time in the history of our world. But it didn't come to pass. Because there will be no peace, the world will not be converted to Christ, there will not be a millennium until after the great battle of Armageddon has been fought. The prophecies of the Old Testament all declare that in this age that there'll be war. One needs to take time to read the third chapter of Joel, where God says, proclaim this among the Gentile nations. And he said then, prepare war. Now listen, beat your plowshares in the sword. Beat your pruning hook in the spear. Let the weak say, I'm strong. For there be wars and wars among the Gentile nations of the world. And God plainly predicted that. And then in Zechariah 14:2, I will gather all nations against Jerusalem. Incidentally, he's talking of that last battle before the kingdom age there. It'll be 7 months, Ezekiel says, after this great battle, that Israel be in the process of burying the dead cleansing the land of Palestine after the battle to make it ready for the kingdom age. And we read in Revelation 16 that through the power of evil spirits, they will go to the kings of all the earth. And of the whole world, gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty, didn't he? And he's gathered them together to a place called Armageddon. So it is a fact established by the Word of God that the battle of Armageddon is to come. There will not be peace till it's fought. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. It has to be. It comes. In the second place, we note the place of the battle of Armageddon. Well, in Unger's Bible Dictionary that we gave you, he gives a place, and it is the land of Palestine. It is near Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem. Ascalon Plain, the place of many past wars, in the battlefield of the land of Palestine. It was in this same plain there, Ascalon Plain, Gideon won his battle. It was in the same place there that Barak and Deborah won their battle over Sisera. And is in the same place that Saul, the first king of Israel, was killed in a battle by the Philistines once. And so it is that in this same place, near Jerusalem, in the land of Palestine, this great battle of Armageddon will be fought. The effect of the Battle of Armageddon will certainly reach the whole world. Every nation on earth will be affected. You could hardly have a world war. You couldn't, without every nation being affected by that war. So it is with the Battle of Armageddon. But the focal place of the battle is the land of Palestine. That's why preachers tell you, why those who read the Bible tell you, that the Middle East is the hot spot of the world. And that's where the battle of Armageddon will be fought. Then I want to pass on to note the strategy of it. You'll notice in Revelation 16 and 12 and through those other verses that we read in that chapter that the kings of the east, through the drying up of the Euphrates River, will be prepared to cross over and be brought to the land of Palestine for the preparation of this battle. Now there's going to be lots of things that will enter in that will bring the nations of the world and their kings and their army to this great battle of Armageddon. I noticed that the riches of the land of Palestine, the riches of the Dead Sea, I think is one factor in bringing the kings of the earth and their armies to Jerusalem to fight this battle. Don't you think so? And you read Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, you'll find that there's going to be the Gog from the land of Magog, that will come down from the north to Jerusalem, to the land of Israel, to take a spoil of this, to take a prey. The Dead Sea is one of the richest of all the seas and waters of the world. In it, they say, is enough mineral and riches to fertilize almost the world if it was gotten out of that. Russia today, they say, that was in the paper just 2 weeks ago, has an open door now prepared to go to the Red Sea. Because they want those riches. Zechariah chapter 14, speaking of this same battle, says the wealth of all the nations of the Gentiles will be gathered together there. Where you find the riches of the world, you're going to find the kings of the world seeking those riches. Thus one factor will be the riches of the world. They will go down to take a prey and to take a spoil. That will be the reason. But I'd say another is the hatred of the nations of the world toward the Jews. Isn't it strange to us that read the Bible how the nations of the world have always hated Israel? They still hate Israel till this day, that is, most of them. Russia still hates them. Germany hates them. Hitler killed millions of them. And they'll still hate the Jews. And so that will bring them down to the Battle of Armageddon. Because God said, I will gather all nations and gather Jerusalem. Zechariah chapter 14. But the great satanic strategy of deception, the wiles of the devil, which God will allow, will be the strategy of the Battle of Armageddon. Now notice this very closely. Revelation chapter 16. After the kings of the earth will be prepared to come into Jerusalem from the east. Then it says, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs out of the mouth of the dragon, that's the devil. Another out of the mouth of the beast, the Antichrist. Another out of the mouth of the false prophet. These are the spirits of devils working miracles. Now notice it. Which go forth to the king of all the earth. Gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. And gather them together to a place called Armageddon. The devil has his wiles, his method, and his strategy, and he knows how to get the kings and nations and the armies of the world to Jerusalem. How does he do it? He does it through demons, spirits, working miracles, which go to the kings of the earth to deceive them. This is not anything new. God has always used the devil and demon powers and miracles of the devil to carry out his own purposes. That isn't anything new. So he'll do it again. You remember when God prophesied that Ahab, king of Israel, would be killed in war, in a certain place at a certain time. And God had a meeting, and all the hosts of heaven gathered around God. And God said to the host gathered around him, "Go persuade Ahab to go into this battle, that he may be killed." One said this, another said another. Finally, there was one spirit that came before God and said, "I'll persuade him." God said, "How you do it?" And he said, "I'll be a lying spirit, and I'll go and whisper in the ears of a false prophet, and they'll tell Ahab to go and fight this battle, and God will give the victory." And God said, "Go, and you'll persuade him and succeed." And through the false prophet, they persuaded Ahab enter into this battle, didn't they? Against the word of God spoken by Micaiah, the prophet. And Ahab was killed, as God said, in that war. Through what? Through the strategy of a demon spirit. And here three unseen spirits working miracles that goes to the kings of all the earth. Gather them together to this great battle of Armageddon. Now you'll notice, and I want this there in your note, and that is that God will bring the nations and armies of the world and the kings to Jerusalem to fight against it for their own glory. They'll come there to take Jerusalem, to take the riches, but they will meet their own doom and slaughter there by God. Okay. The great be read are fully hot, are ready to hot, fully right. Thrust in your sickle with it, for the harvest is ripe. He thrust in his sickle, and the earth was reaped. And he threw the grapes into the winepress of the wrath of God. He trod the wrath of God, the winepress, outside the city of Jerusalem, and blood. As deep as a horse bridle for 1,600 furlongs in this great battlefield of Armageddon. What a slaughter. What a battle. Then let's pass on from that to speak a little while of the armed forces of this Armageddon. Our dictionary says between the forces of good and evil. It's between the forces of the nations and the forces of Israel. That's where it begins. It's the nations of the world against the nation of Israel. For I will bring all nations against Jerusalem. That's where the thing going to start. It's between the satanic and the divine forces, if you please, isn't it? It's between God and the devil, this battle. It's between Christ and the Antichrist. It's between the false prophet and the Holy Spirit of God. The forces of good and the forces of evil. And that's bringing it to a climax under those forces. armies of the earth and the armies of
heaven will fight.
We just read that Jesus will make war, didn't he? In Revelation 19. And we read that he will tread the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. Listen to it. John said, I looked and I saw Christ coming on the white horse, and all of his armies from heaven with him. And I saw the beast and the false prophets gathered together and their armies against him that sat upon the horse.
As the forces of him engaged him between the devil and God, the Antichrist and Christ, between the Spirit of God and the Spirit of the devil, between the armies of the devil on this earth and the armies of God. And what a battle it will be. Now, like that, drop this thought. You and I will be in the army of heaven with Jesus in this time. All the saints will be with us. I think the saints will have been raptured from the earth by this time, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And then they will come with Christ to the earth to bring this battle of Armageddon to its final climax. But that's the forces. But note the next place of terribleness of it. The terribleness of it. It will be the worst of all wars. It'll be the war of wars. It'll be the climactic battle of the ages. It's likened to the winepress of the wrath of God. I want to go back to the 14th chapter now. Read a little. The angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the winepress of the wrath of God. Now notice that. The wine press was trodden without the city of Jerusalem. And the blood came out of the wine press, even to the horse, bridle, that quiet beast. It said when Titus destroyed Jerusalem in A.D. 70, that blood ran in the streets of Jerusalem into the homes. A million Jews were killed. That's just a matter of history. But in this battle, the blood of horses and of people along the plain of Palestine will run as deep as a horse's bridle. And it will flow for 1,600 furlongs. Furlong is the eighth of a mile, and divide that into 16, 1,600, and you have 200 miles of blood for the horse's bridle in the great battle of Armageddon. That's going to be a terrible battle. No wonder it'll take 7 months for Israel to bear the dead body and cleanse the land. You know, in this battle, God's going to send a plague. Isaiah chapter 14, you need to read chapter 14 to ever understand the end time event. And the plague will be the people's skin just be consumed over their bodies. And it says the eye eyes will be consumed out of their sockets, and their tongues will be consumed out of their mouths. It is said, and I do not know the truth of this, but I heard a man preach it that I have a lot of confidence in. And he said when America poured out the atomic bomb upon Nagasaki in Japan, that some got so close to the heat that their eyeballs and the fluid in the eyeballs just melted away. Their eyes literally were consumed out of their sockets when that bomb was dropped. But how much more when God's judgment will fall upon the nations of this world in the battle of Armageddon. I don't know how bad it would be, but I know the Bible says a sixth, and only a sixth, of the nations of the north, now we think that's Russia, will be killed. All except a sixth of the nations of Russia will be left. 2/3 of all the Jewish nations will be killed in that battle, and 1/3 will be left. It will be so great. And Jesus said the days of that tribulation will have to be shortened. I'll let be no flesh, human flesh at all, that would be spared. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. We can't even imagine the tragedy, the terribleness, and the bloodshed that will be in the great battle of Armageddon. It will even be so bad that the Bible says that Jesus, in his apparel, will have his clothes sprinkled with blood. Can you understand that? In Revelation chapter 9, and his vesture is dipped with blood. This great battle, so bad, because it's conflict between the man of sin and Jesus Christ, using the peril of Jesus, will be stained in this terrible body. I don't think many of us or any of us hardly understand what a war, what an indescribable war. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 15 said he treadeth the winepress. That's the same one, of the fierceness, of the wrath of Almighty God. Jesus Christ will lead his army, for he must conquer them, the enemies of God, drive them from the earth, before he can give a good earth to the rightful owners, the people of God. And at the close of the Battle of Armageddon, I just noticed the victory just real quickly. Thank God Christ and his army will be the victory. Christ wins this war, the Bible says, with a sharp sword. Now notice it, out of his mouth, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. That's Revelation 19 and 15 again. This sword is the word of his mouth. That's why there's the war we can't lose. Because of the very word of Jesus Christ, he'll smite the nations. And with the same word, he'll destroy and consume the man of sin, his armies that's attacking him. Listen in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 8. Whom the Lord shall consume, that's a man of sin, with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. I'll tell you, when Jesus comes back in all of his glory and splendor, and the man of sin looks upon him, Jesus will have only to speak a word with his mouth, and the man of sin will be consumed with the spirit of his mouth and the brightness of his coming. But notice, Christ will conquer over both the beast and the false prophet in this battle. Notice now, after he is attacked by the beast and the false prophet, we read, and the beast was taken up. That's by Christ. And the false prophet taken with him. These both were cast alive in the lake, burning with fire and with brimstone. And that's going to end forever the evil from the beast and from the false prophet. They're cast into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. And you're going to read that 1,000 years later, after the millennium, that this old beast and the false prophet are still in the lake of fire, still burning, brother. Been there 1,000 years. But at the close of the battle of Armageddon, they'll be taken by Christ and cast into the fire. And the remnant, the rest of the kings and those that's in the army of the Antichrist, he'll destroy them with the sword of his mouth. That's when the great supper that we read in chapter 19 is made for the fowls of the air. The angel invited the fowls of the air to come to the great supper of God. They'll eat of beasts, of horses. They'll eat of kings. They'll eat of human beings that sat on them. They'll eat the flesh, because that's the great result of the battle of Armageddon. What a supper for the fowls of the air. But Christ is the winner, isn't he? You know, sometimes, right after the close of this battle of Armageddon, the kingdom of Jesus Christ will be established in this earth, and he'll begin to reign for 1,000 years. And that'll be our subject next time we come before him. He'll be king, for it says in Revelation chapter 19, verse 16, and he had on his vesture and on his thigh name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If at least for the first time in the history of all the world since Adam sinned, that there will be peace for 1,000 years at least. And then they will, Isaiah said, beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, neither will they learn war anymore. But until this battle, wars will continue, and will climax in the great battle of Armageddon. But this battle must be fought before the kingdom is. Christ, his people, will be the victors, thank God, in this battle. You know, I'd always rather be on the winning side, hadn't you? You always want on the winning side.
Well, there's only one way to be on the winning side in the battle of Armageddon, Paul. And that's to be on the side of Jesus Christ. And all those that are redeemed by his blood, caught up to meet him in the air, will be with him when he comes at the close of the battle of Armageddon, and will be on the winning side. God bless you. And